Our scripture today is from two passages, one from the Apostle Paul and one from Jesus, as recorded by Matthew. Paul wrote a tremendous letter to the Romans. We call it the Book of Romans. We call it the Epistle to the Romans. We call it the Letter to the Romans. It's Romans. And so in Romans, the 13th chapter, we have another little piece of genius here. Paul writes, let no debt remaining outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commands there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And then Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning of verse 34, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And see, Jesus pulled that from the law that was written for them. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 5. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. And he goes back again to the Old Testament, to their law that they should know. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's in Leviticus. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it.
Amen.
Paul's letter, epistle, book to the Roman church, to the Christians there, contains some of the most profound theology of the New Testament. But at the same time, this theology that he presents is very practical. Paul makes it about practical implementation for believers as they were to, as now we are to live out the salvation given to us through Jesus Christ. And in this letter to the Christians of the Roman church, Paul has called them to dedication to God and rejection of the world, that is, denying in their own lives worldly ideals. Well, going back a bit into the 12th chapter of this Romans letter, Paul has discussed a Christian's relationship to other people. And then in Romans 13, he covered a Christian's relationship as fellow citizens of the state. And then in chapter 14, and we're going to see this on another Sunday, he says he gives principles that Paul gave to the Roman Christians, and again, of course, has given to us about a personal relationship that we are to have with fellow Christians. And prior to that summary on all the relationships, we've just read in today's text the superb way Paul brings the focus completely onto love. That first verse that we read, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Now, of course, as he frequently did, in that statement, Paul built on the teachings of Jesus Christ. So we go to Matthew 22, and there Jesus teaches the primacy of love. One of the best ways that we get to the mindset of Jesus on love is his teaching, his immediate reminder that he gives here to a teacher of the law. It's what we read in our second scripture. This is the text of Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. It says in there that the Pharisees got together. Did you catch that? You see, this wasn't just one of them. A group of the Pharisees got together and they schemed. What is a really good question we could ask him that really doesn't have an answer? And they're sitting there, you know, scratching their beards. And one pipes up and says, how about this one? What is the greatest commandment in the law? How's he going to pick one out of the hundreds of commandments that we know are in the law? Here's a great one, they think. They all agree. This Galilean will not have an answer for that one. So they pick a well-spoken and distinguished one from among them. And this Pharisee, Gamaliel, goes to Jesus and he asks, teacher. See, Pharisee Gamaliel is trying to act like he respects Jesus. Teacher, he says, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, how did I know that this distinguished Pharisee was named Gamaliel? I don't. That just seemed to me to be a Jewish-sounding name, and I wanted to personalize this conversation. Anyway, you see, in addition to the Ten Commandments, the Hebrew scribes and Pharisees over the centuries had counted more than 600 other laws in the Torah, 632 by one count. And which one of so many could anyone choose as the one greatest? Which of the commandments would take precedence over everything? Well, the Hebrew lawyers often debated that as a question, but among them, when they did their speculations on that, it was almost always academic. So anyway, Matthew is specific. In this case, he tells us that this play-acting Pharisee wasn't asking a serious question. He was tempting Jesus. Verse 5 there, 35. He was tempting Jesus. And the feel from the dialogue is that Jesus immediately, surprisingly, gave Gamaliel a summary of the whole law and the prophets by two quotations from their own scriptures, our Old Testament. The first answer from Jesus, a direct quote, as I say, from Deuteronomy 6, it encapsulated the first register of the law given by Moses. There's verse 5 there in Deuteronomy 6. It comes out when Jesus says it in Matthew's verses 37 and 38. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. He just, right there, told Gamaliel. Then, without skipping a breath, Jesus condensed what the Jews called the second table of the law by quoting Leviticus 19:18. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And before Pharisee Gamaliel could even start to recover from the brilliance of these answers of Jesus, Jesus added, on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That is, on those two commandments hangs all of your holy scriptures, Gamaliel. You see, you shall love is Christ's supreme command. That's his greatest law. You are to love God. You are to love. You are to love God. You are to love your neighbor. You are to love yourself. Now, I'm going to ask you to bear with me because you're probably going to say, that's Greek to me. And you're right, this will be Greek to you. But it needs to be Greek in this case. The Greek word agape, which means love, has actually become an English word. So good, it's no longer Greek to you. But here's the thing. Putting together the Greek agape into English, love, is essential for spiritual purposes. And you know, I may use agape so much today that you're going to hardly be able to stand it, but I want to drill this truth home. You see, what Jesus said is the greatest commandment goes like this. Love, agape, the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second law is just like that. Love, agape, your neighbor as you love yourself. It doesn't say as you love, but as yourself. So what is Jesus commanding? He's commanding that the greatest thing God wants us to do is love. But wait, not just love, agape love. You see, just reading in English, love can signify many things. And you know that. You read a children's book and it'll say something about loving your dog. Or you read a weather report and it'll say, oh, just, you know, we love this weather. So you can get that in many ways in English. And in fact, love may bring to mind the attraction of the sexes based on sexual desires. And the Greek word for that kind of love is eros, from which our English word erotic is derived. This, however, is not what Jesus is commanding. So eros love is not what this commandment is about. It's definitely not eros your neighbor. Not the kind of sensual love for your neighbor that Jesus is commanding here. It's not that. Love is also used for that which is pleasing or attractive or gives pleasure or is friendship. You know, we even often use the word love in a place of like. I just love summer. Well, no, you like summer. I really love fall. Well, the Greek word for that kind of love is philos. Again, this is not what Jesus is commanding here. Philos love is not what is commanded about philos like your neighbor or philos your enemies in trying to help them in a godly way. Those are okay. But that's not the kind of love Jesus is commanding when he likens it to the same way that you are to agape love God. That's the prime love. Agape is the only word for godly, unconditional love in the New Testament. And it's defined by its usage. Basically, it means as in God's will. Love as God would. That is love which is perfectly good. It is the right motive accompanied by the right actions. I want you to get that really clear, so I'm going to repeat it. It's the right motive accompanied by the right actions. It's something you do. John 3:16 illustrates what God's love, godly agape, is. God so loved, God so agape, that's God's will, that he gave the right action there, his one and only Son. Agape is God's love. God's love as agape is seen clearly for what it is in Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love, agape, for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then in 1 John 4:9-10, this is how God showed his love, his agape, among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, agape. Not that we loved agape God, but that he loved agape us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's God's love. Well, agape is Christ's love, as in John 13:1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved, agaped his own who were in the world, he loved, agaped them to the end. It's also in John 15, 12 and 13, which is very similar to almost exactly the same words as in John 13:34. But this in John 15 says, my command is this, love, agape, each other as I have loved, agape, you. Greater love, agape, has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Paul described the agape love of Christ in Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved, agape children, and walk in the way of love, agape, just as Christ loved, agape us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we go back and we find the great commandment. Love, agape, the Lord your God. Verse 37. This means, in Matthew 22, this means that we are to have the attitude of the will of God, the goodwill that God desires, accompanied by the appropriate deeds. Love, agape, is God-likeness, or again, it is the will of God. Since God's will is fully revealed in Jesus Christ, to love, agape God, is to yield completely without reserve to him as revealed in Jesus Christ, to obey his loving, his agapeing, righteous will in all of life's relationships. That's the great commandment. And then again, there's the second greatest commandment. Love, agape, your neighbor as yourself. You are to love agape kind of love. You are to love agape yourself. Obviously, when you read it in the Greek, the command is not you're to eros yourself, you are to philos yourself, but it is to agape yourself. That's what, if you get a Greek New Testament, that's what it's going to say. The command is not you are to like yourself, which would be phileo, but that you shall have toward yourself the agape attitude of God, the one he wants you to have, and accompany this attitude with right actions toward yourself. Act like you love yourself. It means that you should consider yourself a person made in God's image. Wow, can't get better than that. Amen. A steward of a God-given life, and that you should use this life in accordance with God's will. That is, you are agape-ing God. You are loving God. Since agape-ing God means to do God's will, then loving, agape-ing yourself is a corollary of loving God, agape-ing God, agape-ing God. Then the love towards your neighbor is love, agape, your neighbor. The command is agape. Now, by this time, that is not Greek to you. We're not commanded to like our neighbors, but to have toward others the attitude of goodwill that God wants us to have, accompanied by the right deeds. That's agapeing your neighbor. And then you have Paul in the Romans passage. He's teaching there the primacy of love. In our morning text, the 10th verse, Paul writes, love, agape, does no harm to a neighbor. Negatively, this means to no harm to whoever your neighbor is. Mm-hmm. Verse 9, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, all summed up in this one command as something you do. Love, agape your neighbor as yourself. And also, just additionally, if you're taking notes, and I know so many of you are, look up these, and you can recall from here Paul's teachings, also found in Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. And that reflects Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, verses 38 through 48. I'm not going to read you those passages right now because of the length, but I've given you the references to look up. You can do that later if you want more biblical insight on this. All of the "you shall nots" that have ever been written with reference to others are fulfilled in the positive statement, you shall love. You shall agape. That turns the negatives of the law to God's positive. And so positively, love or agape means doing God's will toward yourself, toward God, toward your neighbors. For as far as our neighbors, we desire the best for them, for our neighbors, so that we will compassionately desire their salvation. That's the best we can do for them. Desire their salvation. We can desire for them food, or clothing, and health, and educational opportunities, freedom to worship, citizenship, the right to own property, freedom from fear, other privileges that people everywhere desire from themselves. We can desire for them. Our desire for our neighbor's good is love. In Greek, agape. So you see, Jesus and Paul agree that the agape love is the fulfilling of the law. You look at the law, look to love. God is love. God embodies agape, and God is even beyond agape in that he is holy. Jesus wonderfully gave us this truth to live our Christian lives by. All of the teachings of the law and the prophets of the old covenant and of Jesus and his great apostles of the new covenant hang on this one great truth, agape, love. Mm-hmm.